6. In this chapter, we read of Isaac. He, of course, is the son of Abraham. And though Isaac lived longer than his father Abraham and lived longer than his son Jacob, yet he's given the least amount of space in the biblical record. But this 26th chapter does focus upon Isaac. In fact, it's the longest portion of Isaac's history recorded. It's a chapter that's made up of several events, filled, of course, with truth for you and I today. In fact, it was recorded for you and I today for our instruction, for our warning, and for our benefit. I'd like to read verses 17 through verse 19. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gibar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Again, what we read here is one of the very instructive events that's recorded in this chapter. From verse 17, we see that it took place in the valley of Gibar and involves two objects, the stopped up wells, verse 18, and verse 19, a well of springing water. These, of course, are in very stark contrast. But it's from these two objects, stopped up wells and a well of springing water, that we want to take the thought of the message, and that is the subject, the stopped up wells or springing water. Which is it? We'll be addressing the saved in this message, but we know and are confident that God can take His Word, bring about spiritual life in the heart of the dead and lost sinner, no matter what is preached, and we pray that He would do just that. And it is our desire and is our prayer that each one of us, saved or unsaved, would leave here experiencing a well of springing water. But we'll be addressing the saved. And we have to begin by asking, is your life lived in the frustration and emptiness of stopped up wells, or in the blessing and abundance of springing water? Which is it? I want to look at the person, Isaac. What is presented, what is recorded of Isaac in the book of Genesis, serves as a type of Jesus Christ, and his life also serves as a type or a picture of the believer. In this message, we will view him as a type of the saved. Consider, first of all, as a picture of the saved, that Isaac was a miracle son. His birth was the expression of God's miraculous power. And so it is with you and I, the saved. We are the sons and daughters of God by a miraculous birth, by a miraculous work of God. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are His workmanship. That is, we are the result of His work, His activity, and His energy. And because of that, we can live, and we ought to live, an extraordinary life. Perhaps the best known portion of Isaac's life is found in Genesis 22. And it focuses upon Abraham, but we see Isaac in that chapter is spared death, because he is spared death through God's provided lamb. And once again, so it is of you and I, the saved. And because we have been spared death through the provision of God's lamb, oh, what a life that we can and are to live. We see that Isaac is the son and heir of Abraham. And as such, he is a picture of our sonship and our heirship. We read in Genesis 24, verse 36, concerning an act of Abraham toward Isaac. It says, "Unto him hath he given all that he hath." Abraham was very, very wealthy. He gave everything that he had to Isaac, his son. In Genesis 25 and 5, "And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac." That, of course, is a picture of you and I as a child of God, his possessor. We right now are possessor of the riches of God. We're blessed with untold riches. And because of that, what a life that is ours to live. Isaac was a man who lived life enjoying the wealth of his father. And so are we. We're to live a life enjoying the wealth of God. In Genesis 26 and 3, the Lord tells Isaac, "I will be with thee, and I will bless thee." And then he gives the reason in the next verse, Genesis 26, 5, "because that Abraham..." I will bless thee. I will be with thee because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac had the blessed promise of God, not because of his own obedience, but because of the obedience of another. So it is with you and I that are saved. And oh, what a privilege, what an opportunity we have because of the obedience of Jesus Christ. Also, in the biblical record of Isaac, we see he was a pilgrim. And so it is with you and I. We're strangers and we're pilgrims in this world, just passing through on our way home. These are traveling days. And the terrain can be difficult. But as we travel, we must remember that we are miracle children of God. We have been spared through God's provided lamb in our place. We are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are made rich by God. And we are blessed with the promises of God by the obedience of Jesus Christ. And because of all of that, even though we're just passing through, all the life that we can and are to live as we travel through this world. In other words, we're not just ordinary folks. Nor was Isaac. You look at Isaac, you see a man who had flaws. You see a man who had weaknesses. In Genesis 25 and 11, we read that he dwelt by the well of Lahoibroi, which was near the wilderness of Beersheba. Coming to chapter 26, there's a famine in the land. And Isaac leaves his dwelling place and goes to Gerar. Abraham went there back in Genesis chapter 20. under the same circumstances. Gerar is the land of the Philistines. Why did Isaac go there? Because he thought this was his way to escape the famine. It serves as a reminder. Fleshly schemes have no place in the service of the Lord. It also serves as a reminder that our sinful flesh is always with us. Isaac's intention was not just to go to Gerar, but his intention was to go to Egypt. But God, in his mercy, intervened in Isaac's life. We read in verse 2 and 3 of Genesis 26, and he's in Gerar, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, "Go not down into Egypt, but dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of." Don't go to Egypt, Isaac. And then he promised that he would bless him if he didn't go to Egypt. But may I say, Isaac would have gone to Egypt had not God intervened. There's a lot of things that you and I would have done had not God intervened. So we see from this, he is a man protected by God. Oh, we thank God. He not only protects us from others, but he protects us from ourselves, as he did Isaac. So we see this man, Isaac. Now in our text, we see the predicament that Isaac finds himself in. Again, coming to Genesis 26, Isaac arrives in the city of Gerar, and God blesses him abundantly. We read in verses 12 through 14 that he blessed him 100-fold. What he planted was blessed 100-fold. His flocks, his herds. God just blessed Isaac. He poured his blessings down upon him, showing us the mercy of God. But as a result of God's blessing upon him, the Philistines. Keep in mind, he's now in the land of the Philistines. He didn't have to go there. But he's in the land of the Philistines. Because God is blessing Isaac, the Philistines become covetous. They become very envious and jealous of him, and absolutely enraged at the blessings of God upon him. And in an act of spite and vengeance toward him, they fill the wells that his father Abraham had dug back in Genesis 20. They fill the wells with dirt. And we see that in verse 15, "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines, had stopped them and filled them with earth." So there were the wells that his father Abraham had dug back in Genesis 20. Now in Bible times, if you dug a well, that was a statement of ownership of the land. And the title was, "There's a well." I mean, it's proof of title. Once someone dug a well upon a piece of land, it was their way of staking claim to that piece of property. So when Abraham went to Gerar back in Genesis 20 and dug wells, many wells, he was staking his claim to that property. Now, Isaac inherited the lands where his father Abraham had dug wells. But the Philistines, in a rage, filled the wells with dirt. Fill the wells with earth. And as a result, Isaac, of course, is unable to water his crops, his flocks, his herds, and his entire family, his entire household, his servants are in jeopardy. And in verse 16, Abimelech, who is the king of the city of Gerar, said unto Isaac, go from us. Get out of here. We don't want you here. Isaac and his family are expelled from the city of Gerar. And that brings us to our text. Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley. No longer in the city, but in the valley of Gerar. So there's Isaac in the valley of Gerar. He's in great need. By this time, his household is in the thousands. God has blessed him with great herds and flocks. He has an urgent need of water. Isaac needs water. His family needs water. His servants need water. His animals need water. And in verse 17, he arrives in the valley of Gerar, knowing that his father Abraham had also dug some wells in that valley, as well as in the city. So Isaac arrives in the valley of Gerar, no doubt expecting to find water there, because he knew Dad dug wells in the valley of Gerar. But when he arrives, he discovers that the Philistines had also filled those wells with earth. He is now faced with a very desperate situation. Now, without a doubt, when Isaac arrived in the valley of Gerar, where do you think he went? Well, he went to the spots where he knew that Dad had previously dug wells. But when he got to those spots, he couldn't see the wells. The reason, they had been filled with earth. A lot of God's people today can't see the wells because they've been filled with earth. So there's Isaac, his family, his servants, his animals. And they are in need of that which is absolutely essential to their life and their well-being. They need water, or they're going to die. And that water that was so essential to their well-being was still there in the valley of Gerar. But they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. The water was still there. But in their present circumstances, it could not be obtained. It could not be used. They knew that there was water in those wells. They knew that what they so desperately needed was in those wells. The problem was not that the water was no longer there. That's not the problem. The problem is the wells were filled with earth. The water is there. But earth and rubbish was between them and the water. The water is there, but they can't put their vessels, they can't put their buckets and draw the water out. Down in the depths of those wells, the water that they so desperately needed, it's still there. But they're unable to get to it. You're unable to lay hold of it. Why? earth is in the way. Oh, how discouraging and frustrating this must have been for Isaac, for those that were with them, with him. They go back to the old wells, knowing that there's water in those wells, and that water will sustain us, that water will strengthen us, and it will refresh us. The wells are filled with earth. They're standing right where the wells are. But earth is in the way, and they can't get to the water. Again, we stress over and over, the problem is not that there was no water. The problem was that earth filled the wells. And realizing the problem, we read in verse 18, and Isaac digged again the wells of the water. Isaac digged again the wells of the water. In other words, he began to remove the earth. Notice what he didn't do. They get to these spots where they knew there was a well, but the well's filled with earth. Isaac didn't just throw up his hands and walk off in despair. That won't get the water out of the well. It wouldn't for him, and it won't for us. They did not focus. They knew the Philistines had done this. They had done it, and they did it in the city of Gerar. But they didn't focus upon or go to war with the Philistines. That's not going to get water out of the well. Get mad at whoever you want to. Go to war with whoever you want to. That's not going to get water out of the well. Notice verse 18, Isaac digged again the wells of water. That wasn't just random digging, because he knew where the wells were. But it was digging in a specific spot. You not only need to dig, you need to know where to dig. And it was with a purpose, to obtain water. And Isaac digged again the wells of the water. They removed the earth. They removed the clutter. They removed the rubbish that was between them and the much needed water. And we read in verse 19 that water came gushing and vaulting from the ground. And now in the place of disappointment, in the place of frustration is euphoria. In the place of need is now overflowing with abundance of water. They have gone from stopped up wells to a well of springing water. That's the event of our text. So what does all of that mean to you and I? Well, as we look at this record, the spiritual application, all of us, and very clearly see. The water that was in those wells was vital to their physical life. It was vital to their strength. It was vital to their comfort. It was vital to their refreshment. It was vital to their rejuvenation. The water in those wells was invaluable to them. And more importantly, for you and I, there are spiritual wells that contain what is needed to maintain the health and well-being and the vigor of our soul. And we absolutely must have what is in those wells. You see, water is essential to life. It is of a purifying nature or influence. It is refreshing. It has fertilizing capabilities. It allows us to take in and appropriate our food for nourishment. And as this is so in the physical life, so it is in the spiritual. We read in Isaiah 12 in verse 2, "Behold, God is my salvation, my strength, and my song." And then he says again, "and my salvation." And then we go into verse 3, "Therefore, because of who God is in relation to us, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Wells, plural. This is the wonderful opportunity of every child of God to draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, the blessing of being able to draw water out of the wells of salvation. These wells of salvation speak of the enjoyment of the blessings of our salvation. Isaac and his people could not enjoy the water that was in those wells. Why? Because of earth. Because earth had got between them and the well. And there are many today who cannot enjoy the blessings of salvation. Not saying they're not saved, but they can't enjoy the blessings of salvation because earth has gotten in the way. These wells of salvation speak of that enjoyment. I mean, you and I can live in the enjoyment of being adopted into the family of God. Living in the enjoyment of being redeemed and regenerated and reconciled and forgiven. We ought to live our life in the enjoyment of these things. But sadly, many who profess salvation are unable to draw from these wells. Again, I must remind you, the water's still there. Water's still there. Still there. But earth has filled the well. These wells of salvation speak of that which is needed to maintain our spiritual health and our spiritual life. They speak of glorious possibilities of the spiritual life. They speak of spiritual strength. God's people still get spiritual strength where God's people have always gotten spiritual strength. That has not changed. In these wells, there is spiritual comfort. There is spiritual refreshment. There is peace. There is assurance. There is victory. The wells of salvation are God's provision for spiritual life, provided by God. In the very midst of desperate and urgent need, these wells are our spiritual resources. And the wells are still there. They've never been changed. They're still there. The problem is not that the wells of salvation have gone dry. The problem is earth has filled the well. Jesus Christ is a well. The promises of God are a well. The treasures of God's Word are a well. The unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ are a well. The grace of God is a well. And they all contain what we need in our spiritual life. But many times, God's people are unable to appropriate these. They can come to the exact spot of the well, but they can't put their bucket in and draw water out because earth is in the way. And there are many of God's people who are in that predicament. It's not that the promises of God are null and void. You read the promises of God to someone today, and many times they'll remind you of what year it is, as if to say, that's null and void. The promises of God are not null and void. They're still there. It's not that the unsearchable riches of God have run out. All fullness still dwells in Jesus Christ. It's not that the treasures of God's Word have been emptied. We got to get rid of that old King James Version Bible and replace it with something else. This is more. This hasn't run out. If you can't draw from it, it's because there's earth in the way or you're lost. One of the two. The problem is not this book. The problem is earth. This is a very serious dilemma when earth fills the well. The wells are what they've always been. They're as full as they've ever been. But earth gets in the way. And just like Isaac and his people, the wells are there. The wells are there, but earth prevented access to them. And they could not apply them to their lives because of earth, because of clutter, because of rubbish. Again, the problem was not that the wells were dry. And that's not the problem today either. It's all the clutter, all the rubbish that keeps God's people from reaching and making use of that which will strengthen them, that which will comfort and refresh them. Again, read in verse 15 concerning the wells in the city of Gerar. The Philistines, the enemies of God, the enemies of God's people had stopped them and filled them with earth. And in verse 18, concerning the wells in the valley of Gerar, the Philistines had stopped them. So this is the work of an enemy. To fill spiritual wells with earth is the work of an enemy. Anyone who throws earth in the wells that God has made available in your life is doing the work of an enemy. I don't care who it is. They're doing the work of an enemy. They may not do it intentionally, but they're doing the work of an enemy. If we cast earth upon the wells of God's providing, we're fools. We oppose ourselves. And many of God's people spend their day shovelful after shovelful doing just that. Filling the wells. Filling the wells. They do it to themselves. Every day they just throw another shovelful on the well. And then they wonder, why can't I get to the water? You've been filling it up for days. Just as in Isaac's case, there was a need to dig. Not randomly. You don't need to dig throughout the earth. You need to get to where the well is and start digging. They knew where the wells were. If you're saved, you know where they are too. You know where they are. You don't need to dig randomly. You don't need to seek new wells. That's a mark of so-called Christianity today. They're seeking and building new wells. You don't need new wells. You need to get the earth out of the way. So there was a need, and there is today, to break out the shovels and start removing the earth. And they dug, and they dug, and they dug, and they found a well of springing water. Now, if I spend tomorrow filling the wells of God's blessing, the wells of what I need to sustain me spiritually, I spend tomorrow filling those wells with earth. And Tuesday, I come to that well and realize that Monday's dirt is on that well. I've got to remove Monday's dirt. Now, you do that for a year. That is, you just keep filling the well with dirt for a year. You come back a year later, you've got a year's worth of dirt to remove. You do it for 2 years, 3 years, decades. You got a lot of dirt to remove. It's easier to just take care of it as soon as you see earth going into the well. Get the shovel out. Remove it. And it became, and they dug, and they found a spring, a well of springing water. They dug where they knew there was a well, and they found this spring. And so it is today. You don't need to dig all over the earth. Go to where the well is. Oh, there may be decades of earth, but you start digging. You just start digging. And a transformation takes place. There's a well of springing water. You and I, as God's people, we find ourselves in many valleys of Gerar. Places of great need, places of difficulty, places of trouble and trial and struggle. Cares, failure, disappointment, weakness, weariness, discouragement, defeat. We find ourselves in the places where the enemy has done a work. But in all those places, there's a well at hand. It may be filled with dirt. It may be filled with earth. You need to dig. Because in that well is what will strengthen, comfort, and refresh you. And it's in that well that you find peace. It's in that well you find assurance. You're in a bad way when you go to an Antichrist world looking for peace and assurance. You're not going to find it. And you're going to get more and more frustrated. More and more miserable. Go to where you know the well is. This book is a well. The house of God is a well. It's never made sense to me how a child of God can be in need, and because they're in need, they stay away from the house of God. That doesn't make sense. That's like saying, I'm in need of water, so I'm going to avoid all wells. That's not too bright. We need to go where we know the well is. And if we're unable to draw water from that well, we need to see what the problem is. And I promise you, the problem's not the well. It's not the well. Even when a preacher stands up and preaches error because of a misinterpretation of the Word of God, the problem's not the book. The problem's him. All to live in overflow of springing spiritual water. We don't have to live life standing right where a well is, but the well's plugged up. We don't have to live that way. So I ask the question again. Is your life lived in the frustration and emptiness of stopped up wells? How long are you going to live that way? How long are you going to blame someone else? Well, the Philistines filled that. That may be so. But you dwell on that, you'll die of thirst. Is your life going to be lived in the frustration and emptiness of stopped up wells? Or in the blessing and abundance of springing water? I believe every single day I can go to the well of God's providing. And there's water in that well. It's there every day. It's there under every circumstance. And if I can't get to it, the problem's not with the well. We need to realize that. God help us. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.